This is the Bryant Park Project. I'm Luke Burbank. As you may or may not know, we are developing a new show for NPR that's going to launch this fall. And here on this blog, the Bryant Park Project, we are going to be doing little interviews, video and audio, and trying things out. So today, the curious story of Philip Gates, a 70-year-old retired superintendent of schools from Arizona, who, as we speak, finds himself locked up in jail in downtown Los Angeles. And here to tell us more about the story is the guy who drove him to jail a couple weeks ago, his son, Jim Gates. Jim, how did your dad end up in the clink?
He called me one day this past November, and he told me that he was going to go and be involved in a political protest against the School of the Americas. And there's this fort, it's called Fort Benning in Columbus, Georgia.
The School of the Americas is this like training place where they, a lot of guys who have been dictators in Latin America have gone to the School of the Americas in Georgia to sort of learn about American, learn how to run a country, I guess.
But they teach them torture techniques, surveillance techniques.
And we should say, Jim, of course, that the government totally denies that this is the kind of thing that goes on at this facility, even though there's some pretty strong documentation, even from the United Nations, that there is some pretty intense stuff that has gone on at this facility. And also, we should mention that technically it's not called the School of the Americas anymore. It's now known as the Western Hemisphere Institute for Security Cooperation. But anyway, this is a protest that has gone on for a long time. I mean, years, people show up in Fort Benning and protest this place, right?
Right. It's been going on for the last 16 years, and every year it gets bigger and bigger. And this year, 22,000 people showed up to protest the school. And every year, traditionally, there are some people who, what they call, cross the line. They cross onto the base. And this year, 16 people crossed out of the 20,000-plus. And my dad was one of them.
So he crosses the line, and he gets arrested and given how much jail time?
The judge sentenced him to 2 months in minimum security prison.
Which doesn't sound so bad, minimum security prison. It's like a country club, a lot of tennis being played, right?
Well, that's what you've heard in the past, but it's up to the Federal Bureau of Prisons to decide where they're going to send you in the country. And my dad lives in Arizona, and the closest minimum security prison to him was right down the street from where I work in Los Angeles, about 5 minutes from my job. So he flew out to spend the night with me and so that I could drive him to jail.
And you being a radio producer that you are, you tape recorded the entire trip.
Naturally. This personal moment, of course, I had to get that on tape. So you got everything you need?
I have everything I need. I've got the paperwork. Because once you go in, they don't know who you are until you hand them a letter that signed up by the court indicating that I'm to be reporting on this date at this place, and then my name appears there and my number, my locator number, they call it.
What's your number?
My locator number is 92947-020.
So it's your 70-year-old father, and he's, you told me, like a superintendent, was a superintendent of public schools in Scottsdale, Arizona.
Yes, he was the superintendent.
Did he have any priors?
No priors. Not that I know of, but no, yeah, no priors.
So he's got a clean record. He's, by all measures, a pretty upstanding citizen. And you're driving him to go do 2 months in jail in downtown L.A. Was he just totally freaked out?
No, he was really calm.
And certainly in a nice district of the city of Los Angeles with all of the statues and other forms of artwork and beautiful budding trees, there's spring blossoms. It's beautiful here.
Only you could find the positive spin on prison.
Yeah.
So. He had been waiting 2 months, you know, for this to happen, and you're just sort of stressed out, and he just wanted to just get in and get it over with. In fact, we showed up to the prison 4 hours before he was supposed to turn himself in. And the woman looked at him. He was supposed to show up at 2, and we were there at 10. And she said, "Don't you want to come back at 1:59? You know, just go out and have some lunch." And he was just like, "Nope, just let me go in now. I just want to get this over with. I want to get it started." So now we wait. I guess this is the beginning of the process. A lot of waiting. Hey, you dropped me off at band camp. At least I can do is drop you off at prison.
Yeah, and actually probably band camp was a lot tougher than what I'm going through, if I remember correctly, with your wonderful teacher, Mr. Hansen, who rarely cracked a smile as he put you all through your paces.
So your dad has been in there for about how long now?
He's been there for 2 weeks and 2 days.
How's he doing?
You know, he just called me for the first time in 2 weeks, just the other night. And that's the weirdest thing. You just get this call, and it's an automated voice saying, you've got a call from the federal prison system. If you choose to accept it, please press 5. If you want to block this call, you know, press 7. So I pressed 5, and, you know, suddenly my dad comes on, and, yeah, I hadn't talked to him in 2 weeks. And it was great to hear his voice. It's really nice. And he sounded really excited, really, really energized.
What was the holdup with him calling out?
When you go into prison, if this ever happens mm-hmm. to you, Luke, you're allowed to take in, well, just your clothes. And in my dad's case, he wore glasses, so he was allowed to take those. And you can take in a little bit of money, and they set up a little bank account for you. And so you're allowed to use that money to buy things in the commissary. And one of the things you can buy in the commissary is a phone card. But the day he got there, they closed the commissary for 2 weeks. And so it took 2 weeks before it could actually buy a card. And also he has to get all of the numbers that he wants to call. He has to get those approved by the prison. So that took a couple weeks. And yeah, so that's why it took so long.
Has he made any friends yet?
Yeah, he's got a really nice roommate. He's a 25-year-old young Hispanic man this guy is in there for running drugs and guns. And my dad says he's learning a lot from him. In fact, the other day, his roommate cooked him a tamale, and my dad said the prison food is really bad, but what the guys do is they make all of their own creations in the microwave. And so what his roommate did is he bought some Doritos and just, you know, smashed them up and added some milk to create this sort of corn paste, and then put some beans in the paste and rolled it up and just microwaved it. And my dad said it was the best tamale he ever had.
That is so kind of endearing, actually, to think about this 25-year-old kid who's clearly already gotten himself into a certain amount of trouble, and your 70-year-old, pretty much by the book, dad, and this 25-year-old kid making your dad a tamale. I mean, it's like really kind of sweet.
Yeah, I think my dad, you know, will probably have a sort of a parental impact on this guy. I mean, already he was telling me all about him. He's, you know, he's married, he's got a little boy, and he's going to be in there for a year, you know, quite a bit longer than my dad, but he's looking forward to getting out and, yeah, I think going back to school. And so my dad really is good at reaching people, so I imagine he'll have quite an impact. And it sounds like he's made a lot of friends. In fact, there's one guy who was in prison for 14 years, and he just got out last week. And before he got out, he gave my dad his pillow. And I don't know what's worse, the idea of my dad not having a pillow these last 2 weeks or the idea of my dad getting a pillow from a strange man that's like 14 years old.
Right. Are you going to pick your dad up when he's done?
Yeah, I'm going to pick him up. He gets out on May 19th.
Do you guys have a big day planned?
You know, our very last meal together was this. We had breakfast before I took him in at 10, and we dropped by this little kind of greasy spoon in my neighborhood. It's called Eats. And we were a little tense knowing where we were just about to head out to, and as we got up to go, the waitress looked at us with this bright smile, and she goes, "So you two got anything interesting planned today?" And we just looked at him, and I didn't want to say it, and I just looked over at my dad, and he just said, "Yep, I'm going to prison." And the waitress just said, "Oh, that's interesting. My nephew is getting out of prison." And she didn't even skip a beat. It was like we were talking about, so we're going to go back and, you know, clean out the garage.
Right.
And she said, you know, "Well, when you get out, come back." And so I think that's what we'll do, is we'll go back and have, you know, some lunch over there.
Jim Gates of Los Angeles. If you want to see videotape of this detention center in downtown L.A., you can click on the link on our blog, which is npr.org/Bryant Park. And if you want to send Jim's dad a letter, and he's in his room for 15 hours a day. We think he's going to have time to read them. Check in with the blog. We have directions on how you can send Jim's dad a note.